Tonight, we confront the crisis inside today's church. What does God's Word say, and how far have modern churches fallen? This is what's wrong with the modern church. And the truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen with his everyday dose coffee cup. And, yeah, taking advantage of that situation.
Where are we guys syndicated anyway? We're international. How many places?
Germany, India, China, Israel, United
China
Kingdom.
China
I forget. There's a bunch. I can't leave out South Korea, because South Korea broadcasts our signal via shortwave into North Korea, and there's nothing the North Koreans can do about it. I love it.
Try and block the shortwave.
Yeah. All right, David, would you mind prying us into this episode, and then I'm going to show everybody exactly what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, it's amazing. The Lord's coming back soon, folks. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you, Father, that we are heading towards an eternity with you. We ask that this show will go forth and plant those seeds and reap the harvest that you would have it to do. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, David, I'm going to show everybody what we're going to talk about, because this is what's wrong with the modern church. We're going to be comparing biblical truth with today's compromised Christianity, and that's a pretty big deal, if you ask me.
It is.
Here we go. We'll start off with a biblical identity of the true church. Then we'll transition over to what many modern and mega churches are teaching instead.
Mega church.
Yeah. And then in the second half of the show, we'll get into how the modern church has drifted into apostasy. And we'll finish things up with a call back to biblical Christianity. So as you
can
see.
Who doesn't love that?
Yeah, we got several good things going on today. So we'll start with this one. This is the biblical identity of the true church. A true church, according to Scripture, is not defined by attendance, buildings, branding, or musical atmosphere. The Bible is unmistakably clear on this. The church is the blood-bought body of Christ, rooted in absolute truth and built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, the early church was marked by holiness, repentance, sound doctrine, sacrificial love, and unwavering proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The true church is commanded to preach the word, to rebuke sin, to call people to repentance, to warn of judgment, to proclaim salvation in Christ alone, and to live lives set apart from the world. The church is to be salt and light, contending earnestly for the faith and standing firm in a world that's growing increasingly hostile to biblical truth. The early believers were not concerned with popularity, cultural acceptance, political correctness, or entertainment value. They were concerned with obedience to Christ. They embraced holiness even when it cost them everything. They confronted false teaching boldly. They lived with urgency because they believed that Jesus could return at any moment. That is the church that is described in Scripture, and that is the model against which today's churches must be measured. Now, of all that, David, what's the first thing that jumps out at you that you'd like to talk about?
Well, yeah, the first thing is this is the church of Laodicea. So we're going to get into that in a little bit, but They weren't worried about, you know, all this stupid stuff that we worry about today. They were worried about surviving. Hey, you know, how are we gonna hide so my wife doesn't get killed and my kids?
Right.
You know, so they had the little Christian symbol. Remember the fish?
Right.
That was a fish. Mm-hmm. And the reason they chose the fish is because the letters said, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord and something like that. It was an acronym that you heard. And so they just subtly put it in their decorations, you know, so it wouldn't look like much. It was just that little loop of a fish there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's really what they were worried about. I think when you read Laodicea, it's you want to go there now? I mean, that's kind of everything.
Yeah, we can. Why not? You know, if we get into a repeat later, we'll repeat it. You know, if it comes to your mind, it's something that the Lord wants us to get out there. So let's do it.
It's like keep sweeping everything else out and putting this in there. All right. So we all know Laodicea. Paul wrote to them, but where we know Laodicea from is the Bible. Okay. And it's Revelation in chapter 3. Starts at like 14, I think.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about that, Joel, is all the other churches, we see the church in, you know, in Pergamos, the church in Philadelphia, the church in Thyatira. We see all the church in everywhere.
Right.
When we get to the last church, it says a church of the Laodiceans.
That is an important point, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I want you to really get into that, because that is important. That's important language.
Yeah, it's huge, and there's so much to it as well. You know, it's when he says that the church in over here and the church in over there, there is a church over there, and when you look at the layout, churches 1 through 7, it, you know, they were all churches at the time, and he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear." In all the churches, so he's talking to everybody all at once. Okay, and all those churches and all those characteristics are always around, including in the beginning. However, the major, overwhelming, dominant personality of each church is laid out in the order of the seven churches. Okay. Which means this is the last church. This is the end of time church. It's going to be the overarching personality of this final church, of the church age we're in. And it's just very interesting. There's a lot in there, but it starts out with this. He, the church of the Laodiceans. Leo means the laity. Remember, you know what laity is in church language?
No, Latin. Not specifically, no. Go ahead.
So laity means people.
Okay.
Okay, so the laity is the group of people. It's Latin. That's where we get it. And the Dicea is basically we get dike, you know. It basically means make the rules.
Okay, people so, make the rules. Okay, I get it. Okay.
All right, and that's what it means. It's a church made by the people who make their own rules. Is really what it's saying when you parse it out in the language. And that's what we have today. We have churches with boards, and they're going to vote on what Jesus really said. And you know, it's a lot. Now, grant, you know, board's kind of a good idea in the multitude of counselors, but that's not really where the church went today. And we're going to see all these things. So that's it. It's a church of the Laodiceans. And Laodicea means the people are making the rules. So it's not really the church of Christ. And we see that because where is Jesus in the church of Laodicea?
You know, he's taking second place, basically.
Well, yeah, it says in Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, that they stand at the door and knock." All right. "If any man hear my voice, open the door and I will come in." So where is he?
Outside.
He's outside the church.
Right.
He's outside the church knocking on the door. Is anybody in there?
Yeah.
You know, and if there is, I'll come in and sup with him. And we see that all over. So I know a lot of times, you know, the Catholic Church gets a bad rap, but I know a lot of Catholic people who just love the Lord and they're not really into the Mary worship and all this stuff. And, you know, not for nothing, but all the other denominations got some major issues as well.
Every one of them. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So as far as the doctrine of the Catholic Church, yes. But I know there's tons of Catholics I know that really love the Lord. And Jesus is knocking on that door and saying, "Hey, come on out. We'll eat." Yeah. You know, well, yeah. "I'll come in." I mean, I'll come in. I'll eat with you. So we see a big movement in all the different types of churches. You know, there is a revival in Methodists and Protestant and Lutherans. There's revivals all over the place, just like there's revivals in China and Iran,
right?
And North Korea, like we were talking about, mm-hmm. all these different things. But he's standing at the door and knocking, which means, you know, he's not. And I wouldn't be surprised, Joel, if there's more people who were not in the church that wind up in heaven than that are.
Yeah, you could be right, because, you know, there's so many churches out there. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead and put it up here. This is what many modern and mega churches are teaching instead, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got the contrast, the biblical model with today's modern church culture, especially within many of the mega churches and seeker-friendly movements. So instead of preaching repentance, many preach an affirmation. Instead of calling sin what it is, they redefine it, excuse it, or ignore it altogether. Instead of expository scripture teaching, they offer motivational speeches, life coaching, or shallow positivity that never confronts the human condition. Now, many of these churches refuse to speak out again about things like hell, judgment, holiness, biblical marriage, sexual sin, abortion, or the exclusivity of Christ. Not because scripture is unclear, but because the pastors fear losing ties, followers, and cultural acceptance. The message becomes soft. The sermons become therapeutic. The doctrine becomes watered down. And the cross becomes a decorative symbol instead of the central truth of salvation. Entertainment replaces reverence. Feelings replace faith. Activism replaces evangelism. Emotional experiences replace the Holy Spirit. Many churches today operate more like corporations, stage productions, or social clubs and houses of worship where the fear of the Lord is present. So the modern church has become uncomfortable, consumer-driven, and culturally synchronized, a stark contrast to the church described in the Word of God. Now, before I let you comment on that, David, I'm going to go ahead and put up this chart, okay? And I want to warn people right now, when I created this chart, there were some misspellings in it, and I just didn't change them, okay? Just honestly... I figured, okay, we can get over that. Okay, so let's look at this. Yeah, look at this comparison chart real quick here. This is a biblical church versus modern Christianity. On the left-hand side of your screen, and by the way, if you guys are listening to this and you are not watching it in visual form, please go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. You have your choice of three different video platforms that you can go to. There's Rumble, there's YouTube, and there's Brighteon. And so you can pick your favorite there and watch the show. When you do, please leave a comment, like the video, subscribe. It really does help us out, and it also helps spread the gospel worldwide. Again, lastchristian.net. Now then, looking at, again, here at the comparison chart, you'll see over there a biblical church there, David, preaches repentance, where sin is named, confronted, and turned from, Christ-centered. You got Jesus as Lord, Savior, and the only way to God. Holiness matters. Believers are called to separate from the world. The teaching of sound doctrine, the fear of the Lord, discipleship, biblical leadership, teaching on judgment and hell, bold evangelism, treasures in heaven, and spiritual discernment. If you look at the modern church, they avoid tough topics. Sin is softened, ignored, or redefined. It's self-centered, with messages focused on self-esteem, empowerment, and personal goals. Blending in.
10 ways to a better you.
Yeah, blending in. Churches mimic culture to appear relevant and attract crowds. Shallow teaching with motivational talks, entertainment, and emotionalism. Fear of man. Consumer-driven, not discipleship. Judgment is avoided. The compromise, morality. The cross is replaced with positivity and social causes, and psychology, spiritual confusion, a mixture of truth and erratic, fake basis. And there's no urgency. There's rarely mentions any prophecy or anything to do with the church. I'll put it that way. Okay. Yeah. So what do you want to comment about that, or do you have another area that you wanted to go into first?
Yeah, I mean, all of that, it lays it out. And in Laodicea, the church, he says this. He says, but in 3:17 in Revelation, it says, you say, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. There's your five right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And you know what? And that typifies it. A 100%.
Yeah.
So he says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed. And, you know, we see later on in Revelation where white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about the metaphorical language, it is 100% true, but it's also metaphorical.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literal and metaphorical simultaneously. God could do that. Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
And white raiment, that thou may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now, Laodicea had they had two different springs come down. One was the hot springs from up where the north was, and then I was in the north anyway. And then they had the cold springs come in. Okay. I wrote the note. Hang on one second. So, yeah, okay. So, in Hierapolis, that's what it was. I knew it was higher something.
Okay.
Hierapolis is, and they were famous for their healing mineral springs. And it's full of calcium carbonate and, you know, all the other minerals that are fun in those. It's like going into the sauna, you know, in the hot tub. And then from Colossae, they went to the east. It was known for cold, refreshing mountain water, okay, from Mount Cadmus. So what happened is they would come down and they'd meet together, it'd be lukewarm. So now you got all this lukewarm mineral water, and it was just nasty, okay?
Okay.
So people would literally vomit it out. It's like, you fill the glass of water and then fill it full of salt to the point where you want to vomit. And that's kind of the idea. And okay. That's why he's given these pictures. And they were also famous for making a special salve for the eyes.
Okay.
So, and that's why he's talking about that here. Well, why did he bring that up? Because that's what they were famous for, some healing, like, Vaseline-type stuff, and they'd put it on their eyes.
Okay.
So it's amazing how God uses all those metaphors to get the point across. And that they're, you know, poor, blind, wretched, naked, and obnoxious. Was it obnoxious? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Yeah.
I like obnoxious better.
Well, naked, you know, the thing that really jumps out at me so far anyway is the lukewarm thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, this church is called out, but it's called out not only in the present form, like you guys need to get your stuff together, but it's called out in the future form that, you know, there's going to be churches at the end that are the same as you, you know, and both of you guys are in trouble, you know, and you've got you. I don't know how to emphasize it more, but, you know, Christ is saying this is going to happen in the last days. Well, guess what? We're in the last days and it is happening. You know, I don't know how else to describe it, but I'm sure you do. Go ahead.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, you know, I wish we were hot. We were hot for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But it little different technology here, because we could use hot water. You can jump in and bathe in it, but you're not going to drink it. But the cold water was refreshing. So it gives, like, different purposes for, like, we have different ministries. Okay, I am not a pastor because I don't have patience with people. So, I know, I do, really. I just like
to. Yeah, he does.
He's
kidding.
But the idea is we all have different gifts. And some of us are hot, but some of us are cold. It's not a negative cold. It's a refreshing cold.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about. He's like, you're neither hot. I can't use you to bathe in. I mm-hmm. can't use you to drink in. You're pretty much useless. That's yeah. what the lukewarm is kind of yeah. Getting out here. But what's interesting is in his introduction, he actually says that. Like, so in verse 14, it says, the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things saith who? The Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. Well, why does he say that? Because that's exactly the opposite of what they are. He's mm-hmm. the one who is certain, reliable, and final. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the failure of the Laodicean church. He's the faithful and true witness in contrast to the unfaithful witness of the Laodicean church.
Yeah.
And he's the beginning, the source of all everything. He's mm-hmm. he's our source, the beginning of creation. And you say that you have rich, I have everything I need. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm your source. So he addresses that right out of the gate. It's pretty fun.
Well, okay. Let's look at this. I want to go back for a second to the early church, which
okay.
they were under attack from day one. Right, I mean, no, mm-hmm. no doubt about it. There was Christian persecution at levels that we are still not seeing today, and yet they were bold enough. Every disciple knew that he was going to be killed. Any one of them could have said, "No, okay, I made it up." Any one of them could have done that, but instead they suffered unbelievable deaths, as did many Christians back then. And today, you bring it forward to entertainment value. That's really what I even attended a church, David. I won't name it, but I attended mm-hmm. a church where the music director put on more of an entertainment session mm-hmm. than you know, praising the Lord. You know,
that's typical.
Yeah, and that's sad, is what it is. But
it really is.
You know, it's a front-facing
ministry, and that's why.
Yeah, and then you've got the mega churches that do water everything down, and that have these interdenomination meetings where they, whether they realize it or not, they're elevating faith, or I should say, satanic worship, like with the Islamic faith or Hindus or Buddhists or whatever. You know, they stand up there and they give them credibility by being on the stage with them, do they not?
Yeah, when you're standing, I mean, it, not for something else, if they're just going up to, hey, you know, the best salesman, that's a different thing. But if you're up there teaching the word, you really want to just call them out. You don't want to come up and say, oh, I teach you mine and you teach you his and you guys mm-hmm. just pick. No. You call them out. Like, I have many friends that are Muslims. I call them out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doesn't mean they're not my friend. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Matter of fact, the fact that I do love them means that I call them out.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? We have, you know, even family members who go to not so good churches and mm-hmm. you call them out.
Yeah.
You know, hey, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
You know? And then, I have some friends who actually left because of stuff like that, especially mm-hmm. the with the gnar flavor mm-hmm. that's going on.
Yeah,
they're just like, okay, I see it now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of opening their eyes, because God says come and get the gold tried in the fire. That's where the real gold is, because it's mm-hmm. pure. And yeah. So he kind of leans in that direction. That's cool. What else we got?
Well, you know, it to me, there's a lot of churches out there, and again, we're not calling out individual churches, at least I'm not yet. David's really good at it. You know, there are churches out there that are saying, well, you know, there's another way to heaven. And you got the Pope who's blessing ice, and by ice, I mean actual physical ice, okay?
Like a block of ice.
Yeah, like a block of ice.
Immigrations, no.
Yeah, right. But basically, if you are a part of a church that is saying, well, you know, this is what the Bible says, but this is what I believe it means, mm-hmm. you're in the wrong church, okay? Because the Bible is what it is. It is the Word of God. And
yeah,
it,
that's a good point.
You know, it needs to be the focus. You don't want to count on a preacher for your salvation. You don't want to count on a pope for your salvation. You don't want to count on a priest for your salvation. There is only one way to go to the Father. And Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's it, David. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's interesting you brought that up. because I've seen a lot of that over the years. But you know what's interesting?
What's that?
I'm going back to Laodicea again. He keeps shoving this in my head. Okay. All these
That's
different
fine.
Things.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And in AD 60, there was a huge earthquake and it destroyed Laodicea.
Okay.
Now, Rome offered emergency funds and Laodicea refused the emergency funds, boasting that they could rebuild it themselves.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so they rebuilt it with no imperial assistance, he said. And there you go. I am rich, increase with goods, and have need of nothing. So it's just it just all fits the whole narrative. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we see that. I see that a lot where you're trying to tell people, and they're like, well, that's not how I read it.
Right.
What do you mean it's not how you read it? It's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is it the Lord says about personal interpretation? I think that's a good
Yeah,
place
and
right
there's
there.
No prophecy of a private interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
None. And so I learned a long time ago, you know, hey, if my opinion's wrong, who's probably better at this, me or God? You
God,
know?
100%.
Well,
<yeah.
laughs> let me guess.
Yeah, uh-huh,
you know?
Yeah.
He invented the entire universe and then made it, and I just kind of showed up one day. He's probably good. Probably much better than I am at it.
Mm-hmm.
So we just let him do it. But I see that more and more today, and it's all the same thing. Well, at that church, they teach this, but we teach this because we like this. You know, especially with the gay stuff. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's probably
prevalent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's even change it. Let's just call it what it is. It's homosexuality.
Right.
Because gay was actually a good word, and gay was happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And so they're not going to steal that, and they're not going to steal the rainbow. It's God's rainbow, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're homosexuals, and that is a big sin, but they don't want to admit it. So the church is, oh, well, we're going to ordain one, and we'll marry a gay couple because love is love. And they come up with all this crap and, you know, and try and say, well, Jesus said love your neighbor. Well, loving your neighbor is, you know, blocking them from walking off a cliff.
Right.
And
also, one point I'd like to make on that is, it's not hate to address somebody and say what you're doing is sinful, and you need to, you know, if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can get by that, you know, and move on. To tell them, oh, it's okay, you know, God understands. You know, he's amended everything just for you. That's evil.
Yeah.
You know, that's hate speech.
He changed the rules,
you know,
for you.
Yeah. What, you know, by following the Bible and by teaching the Bible correctly, that's not hate. That's love. To put your own personal interpretation in it to change the meaning of the Bible, that's hate. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be
so
clear.
How can
on
they
that.
Receive Jesus then?
Yeah. All right, guys. We got a long way to go yet. We've got a lot to cover here. We're going to talk about what modern churches are teaching, continuing on that a little bit, and how the modern church is going bad. Anyway, we'll be back right after a short break.
For centuries, the olive has symbolized health, peace, and blessing. Now, Oleabo brings that legacy to life with ultra-pure olive oil capsules, olive leaf extracts, radiant skincare, and pain relief innovations. And right now, before the official launch, you can join for free as a business builder or affiliate. No fees, no purchase required. Health, beauty, and prosperity, all in one movement. Join today at lastchristian.net.
Discover real stories, wisdom, and joy every day on Conversations with Dawn Karima. Join award-winning host Dr. Dawn Karima as she shares uplifting conversations with artists, authors, educators, and culture keepers from across Native America. Hear the voices and stories that inspire faith, hope, and strength for every listener. Tune in daily at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Conversations with Don Karima, where good words and good medicine meet.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen, all the way from Mondami, New York City.
Yeah, did you see him change his tune?
Yeah, well, I see where he's begging Trump for money. Yeah, I see where he was begging for money, and people are saying, well, I thought it was free. I thought it was free.
What happened?
Now
all the... So aside from all the people that just have no brains at all, that are like, yay, he won. You know, the people that really expected some of this stuff are like, why? Yeah. All of a sudden, he's saying something completely different than what he ran on. Like, he didn't even get in yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, well, and he's we really can't have free buses and free food.
Buddy-buddy with Trump, too, you know. So, I mean, everything that they don't like, he's got it. All right, let's get into this, David. We got how the modern church has drifted into apostasy, okay?
Oh, no.
Yeah, the drift didn't happen overnight now. It began when churches stopped treating Scripture as the final authority and instead treated it as a suggestion or an inspirational reference point.
So it's not the Ten Commandments, it's the Ten Suggestions?
Pretty much, yeah. So now, once the Bible stopped being the absolute standard, culture filled the vacuum. That's why many modern churches now embrace worldly ideologies such as gender confusion, moral relativism, progressive theology, and political correctness, all wrapped in religious language. Instead of "thus saith the Lord," today's churches often preach, "this is my truth, follow your heart," or "God wants you happy, not holy." Now, this is not Christianity. Teachings like that are pure deception. Many churches now prioritize numerical growth over spiritual growth. They focus on branding, social media presence, lighting rigs, and stage aesthetics, while neglecting discipleship, doctrine, prayer, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Some churches deny the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection, the inerrancy of Scripture, and the exclusivity of Christ. I got it right. I can't believe that. Okay. Now, all of which are foundational to biblical Christianity. When a church refuses to call sin, sin, it loses its power. When a church rejects truth, it embraces falsehood. And when a church stops preaching the cross, it stops being the church. Apostasy is not only present, it is widespread, and Scripture warned that this day would come. And that's a true statement, is it not, Dave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I mean, he tells it, you know, be lovers of selves. Mm-hmm. And here we are. And that's a good point, because you hear it all the time. Oh, follow your dreams, you know, and you know, be true to your own heart. God wants you to be happy. Well, not really. Not yet. And I mean, ultimately, yes, but there's some issues that are going on here, which is called sin. And, no, he wants you to preach the gospel so you can be happy for eternity. And, you know, joy is different than happiness. I would say joy is, no matter what happens, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. And then, you know, to a point now where it's true. All the chaos and mayhem, everything that comes against you. And, you know, I lay my head down at night and say, oh, thank God you're with me here. This is great. I'm going to sleep now. And sometimes, you know, for years that was hard to do. And now when you fully understand that it's legally and literally a contract written in his blood that he will perform it, that's what he says. I will perform my word. It will not come back void. This is what is going to happen. You just lose all sense of fear. You just lose it. It's like, well, whatever. If I get blown up today, I'm with the Lord forever. Sounds fun.
Okay.
But yeah, he doesn't want you happy. And that is loving yourself. That's idolatry, actually. When you say, hey, you know, follow your dreams and pull that
follow,
up
following
too.
Following dreams instead of following the Lord. Yeah, there's a big difference there. Mm-hmm. Really big difference there. Yeah, because I know having done that for years in the corporate world, you know what's important to me. You know, how do I mm-hmm. get ahead? You know, rather than how can I bring the Lord to people? How can I? I don't know how to.
We're just supposed to do what we're told. Mm-hmm. So in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, hey, trust in yourself. You know, believe in yourself. Yeah, you can do it. No, it says trust in the Lord
right.
with all thine heart uh-huh. and lean not to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Yeah.
It's not what do you want to do. You ask him, hey, what do you got for me? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go where you have. And even in Jeremiah, he says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, and whose heart departs from the Lord. And that's what the church has done. Ah, I'm rich. I could do this all by myself. I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And here's where we go. So trust in man means depending on human wisdom. So there's your psychology stuff. Mm-hmm. Instead of God's word. I don't care how ridiculous God's word sounds to you, it's the truth, and you
right.
need to align with it. Mm-hmm. We just talked about leaning on your own understanding, trusting mammon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He says you cannot serve God and mammon, so you trust
right.
money
mm-hmm.
and systems, you know, and connections. Oh, well, I got a good network, you know, and for our prepper friends, I love the idea of prepping and putting mm-hmm. together a community. That's a good idea.
Right.
But when you're full security is in those connections. Oh, I got this, you know, in case this comes out and this comes. I'm mm-hmm. trusting in the Lord to you know, protect me through all this
right.
and get me home. And it's good to have a network, but when you trust more in your network, it's different.
Yeah.
And if you make decisions out of fear, you know, I don't want to, you know, lose my job. So I'm going to go ahead and give the shot. You know, a self-protection or self-reliance, Those are trust in man, and you're putting confidence in leaders. You know, we like some of the stuff that Trump's doing,
mm-hmm.
but I got to tell you, I don't like some of the stuff he's doing.
Right.
So we don't put our confidence in the leaders or right. in these so-called prophets or any institutions. I've heard so many people say, oh, well, my church teaches this. So I was like, well, your church mm-hmm. is wrong.
Okay. Yeah, there's a bunch of them down here, David, that yeah. are doing the same
thing. Well, my current thing, mm-hmm. well, go for you. You could go mm-hmm. to hell with them. I mean,
yeah.
Those
are the churches that are going to be meeting the Sunday after the rapture, by the way. Those are the ones.
Yeah. Like, where is everybody today? Is it Thanksgiving weekend?
I don't know if there's going to be that many people missing out of those churches, to be honest with you.
No, there's like, where's Jill? Jill is done with you. Jesus was knocking on the door and she let him in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. So here's what happened.
Before uh-huh. I forget it, David, I want
forget.
You to explain one thing here. You will know them by their works. I don't mm-hmm. remember book, chapter, verse, but it's there. But what I want you to explain, because I think it's very, very important, is that people are always saying, well, you know, I do all this for the Lord. And, you know, you get into a point where you're standing before the great white throne mm-hmm. and say, okay, I did all this and I did all this and I did all that. And God comes back and says, you know, depart from me. I never knew you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want you to try to get into a little bit of that. Know them by their works, and put that in the proper context for people out there.
Well, it's all over the place. You know, the Bible's a hologram. And by that, I mean, you're not just going to get, you know, like a flat picture.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And here's a picture. Okay. And the tree is over here, and the brook is over there, and the grass is over here. That's a flat picture. A hologram, mm-hmm. if you turn it, you can see it from all the different angles at once.
Right.
And God did that on purpose, because you could take verses out of here, but that doctrine is still in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you're looking at it from this angle now. So I could tear off that corner where the tree is, but if I look over here, I could still see the tree. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it's that hologram effect. And so when we see, you know, people that I never knew you kind of a thing, and mm-hmm. you're known by your works, that is all built in. Baptism is all built in. The Trinity is all over the whole Bible. Right. The rapture is all over the whole Bible.
Right.
I could take out the two rapture verses. I could still prove that the rapture is going to happen before the 70th week of Daniel. Mm-hmm. Okay. You could take those two, you know, hardcore verses out. So that's what we see. You're talking about Matthew 7 and 22. Okay. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Mm-hmm. Have we not, in thy name, have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Mm-hmm. Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So you're just doing sinful things, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which has built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That's why I don't care whatever storms come. That's fine. We're on the rock.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But here we are with Laodicea. They've done all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. hey, didn't we prophesy in your name? In your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? Yeah, you did it in my name, but what happened when, what was it, who went around, was it Peter or was it Paul? They went around and it was one that's saying, hey, you know, we want that gift, you know, just mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He says, well, Peter I know and Paul I know, and he's like, who are you? And then right. they beat him up and stripped him naked. They ran out of the city. So you don't want that to happen, folks.
No.
Hell is worse, but that's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he talks about. I never knew you.
Yeah.
That's where you need to strive. That's the first thing on your list is get to know God. Spend time praying, seeking
His
faith.
Stay away from those churches that corrupt scripture. You know, I mean, yeah, it might make you feel good, but again, that brings up another of the verses there. You know, to preach that tickle your ears. I'm sorry, I can't quote the exact scripture there, but you know, in other words, you want to go to a church that agrees with you and your position rather than challenges you to obey God's commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Is that plain enough?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty clear. Yeah, you're looking to get your ears tickled is what it says. Oh, right. They say what I like them to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's kind of what happens. And most people don't like talking about how, you know, there were giants and they, you know, ate everybody.
Yeah.
All this other stuff.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm in part of a discussion right now. Not a part of it. I'm monitoring this discussion about how that's not possible. Angels can't possibly. Angels can possibly, but mm-hmm. they don't, you know.
They're not supposed to.
Yeah, they're going to fight me tooth and nail on that one, and I just let it go. I said, okay, these people just have—they have no clue as to, you know, what reality is about.
Yeah, we know they're not supposed to, but that's therein lies the sin, is that they did what they weren't supposed to do. They left their first estate, they said, which is oikotherion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where we're at. So let's jump back. Okay. To Laodicea.
All right.
Okay. Now, they had, they were very wealthy, and this is why they said this. And I think this is why the American church, and that's why we experience it, because we're in the American church.
Mm-hmm.
One of the wealthiest cities in Asia Minor, they had their own banking center.
Mm.
Okay. So what do we have in America? Pretty much the banking center of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The regional financial hub. You know, that's not too far from me, right over here in Wall Street.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They minted their own coins, so we have that. And They were known for gold reserves. You know, they had that. We're supposed to have that. I don't know if they
still I said we did anyway. I don't know if we're still there or not.
So therein kind of rounds that out. Mm-hmm. So all the metaphors in like three verses, I think it is. And he says, and it wraps up all that history. Mm-hmm. Yep, I counsel me to buy gold. So that he references, because they were known for their gold reserves and their eye salve, mm-hmm. You know, he references them. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing.
But it still points to
buy
now.
Gold, tried to buy her.
It still points to now, though. That's what is impressive about it, is that, you know, it's basically, I mean, he called them out, but he's also calling us out.
Yep. Yeah. So to him who overcomes, he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hear my voice, so you need to be listening. Mm-hmm. Lord, tell me, is that your voice? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because mm-hmm. if you're just listening to all the other voices and, you know, the extravagant music, while it's good, I don't know if you know, a lot of the modern songs, mm-hmm. they're designed to elicit emotions. In the steps that it has, mm-hmm. so that could be a problem, because you're saying, oh, you know, this song feels so good, and I got nothing wrong with emotions, but is it preaching the truth?
Right,
because you can get your, you know, mm-hmm. you know, did God really give you a sloppy wet kiss? I mean, should that be in one of our worship songs?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm more, you know, I have visited some churches that are contemporary music and all that, and I'm not going to say I've ever come across anything that was, like, bad or whatever, but I like the older stuff. Maybe it's because maybe it's just because I'm old. I don't know, but I like that. I like the older music.
You could change the old, take the words from the old hymns and put it to new music, because that's kind of what they did anyway.
Right.
You know, most of them took old bar tunes and they just put new words to it. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that. You know, I love the old hymns. They were righteous. Well, they took bar tunes. Amazing Grace was a bar tune.
Yeah. All right. True enough. All right. Well, David, let's look at this one real quick.
Okay. What do we got?
Well, this is the call back to biblical Christianity. So, you know, everything that we've talked about, the solution to this is not a reinvention. It's simply a return to biblical preaching, a return to holiness, a return to repentance, a return to the fear of the Lord, a return to calling the world out of darkness, not blending into it, a return to shepherds who speak truth, not polished motivational speakers who entertain, a return to discipleship, spiritual maturity, and bold gospel proclamation without compromise. The true church will always stand with Christ, even when it means standing against the world. It will preach the full counsel of God. It will call sinners to repentance. It will defend the faith once delivered to the saints. It will confront false doctrine. It will live with urgency and watchfulness. It will refuse to bow to culture, politics, or trends. A remnant still remains. Faithful believers in churches holding fast to Scripture, living in obedience, watching for the return of the Lord, and refusing to compromise. The call today is simple. Come out from the compromise, return to the book or the Bible, return to the cross, and above all, return to Christ. This is what the church was meant to be and what it must become again as the hour grows late. What you got to say about that, David?
Mm-hmm. Jesus is knocking at the door, and mm-hmm. you can hear him now. You could see it. And that, I think part of that picture is all the revivals all over the world, where the Bible has been snuffed. China is on course to be the biggest Christian nation in the world by 2030, mm-hmm. just 5 years from now, because of the rate of growth, despite how much the government is cracking down on Christians. Mm-hmm. If you have a Bible study in your house, they lock you up in jail, and you can't contact your friends or family or nothing.
Right.
it's not working because they just know, because they all got their little secrets and they're like, okay, now tell everybody else. And mm-hmm. and they all know that everyone's praying for them, because that's what's, hey, if you get locked up, remember, we're praying for you.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, then preach to the people when you go into jail. So now all the people in jail are getting witnessed too. So now,
aren't those places like that, like China and
Iran
and places like that, aren't they closer to the original church, the beginning church, than we are?
They have all underground stuff.
Yeah. I mean, because that's where the old church, where the original church came from, was all these church groups, you know, and all that.
And in no way do they want a huge mega church, okay? Because they'll just call attention to them. They're like, no, split it up. Okay, so you 10, you come over here and don't say nothing, all right? And then you 10, you go over there. Okay.
Grow. And every time you grow, split, you know, it's like splitting stock, I guess. I don't know.
And then they know how to communicate with each other, just like the little fish back in the day.
Yeah.
But the ironic thing about it is people like that. And there's some sense of, oh, I want to be part of this team because they're bold and they're strong and they're fearless.
I want to jump in on that one because a church I went to, I actually enjoyed. And don't get me wrong, the preacher was great, okay, and the services were great, but I loved the Sunday school class. Okay, it was a group of probably 20 people, and I called it. Let me see if I can get this right. Deacons, disciples, and something else. I can't remember. Doctors, that was it. Okay, here's the reason. One of the main guys in the Sunday school class was a doctor, and I can say his name now. He's gone on to meet the Lord, okay? And Dr. Elmore. Mm-hmm. And now, he was about as down to earth as you. I mean, he hated to be called doctor. Lanny, you know, call me Lanny, you know, Lanny Elmore. But anyway, he was a doctor. Most of the deacons in the church were in our Sunday school class. Mm-hmm. And again, Lanny, together with a couple of other people that were in the class, were missionaries in the past and had gone out. So I call them the disciples, right? Because they Lanny, for instance, was a he was preaching in Uganda during the time of Idi Amin. Saw people executed for Christ and was actually called in front of Idi Amin and thought he was going to die. Long story there. Maybe we'll get into it someday. But the thing is that I learned so much from these people. You know, you would read the Bible study of that day, but they could put more context behind it. It's kind of like your Bible studies, David, that we do midweek, where, you know, you really dug deep into Scripture, and I absolutely loved it. And, you know, thinking about an early church, that Sunday school class would have fit into that beautifully, and I think it would fit into the modern churches like you were talking about in Iran and in China and in other places like that. So, yeah, as you're looking for a church out there, people, try to find one like that. Try to find one that is very edifying and doesn't tell you what the pastor thinks the Bible ought to say, but that preaches and teaches what the Bible actually does say. David, you got the last 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Whether you like it or not is real key. So I think let's go down the road. We talked about trusting in man instead of God and how that could be a problem. Let's do this here. So this is part of the agreement that you can actually lose some stuff. Breaking vows or oaths made before God, that'll bring a curse on your life. So in the kingdom of God, words are legal instruments, and it's a binding covenant declaration recorded in the heavenly court. So think of Genesis chapter 1. Remember that part? We started there a while ago.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
And God said, Everything is God said and God mm-hmm. said and God mm-hmm. said and God what? Said. Why? Why did he say? Why didn't he just do it? Well, because he had to have that contract. Okay. Mm.
The terms and conditions.
Yep. Okay. The terms and conditions, and it had to be spoken because that's how it's recorded. When you speak, we don't realize this, but when you speak something, it's getting recorded on the, you know, not like a piece of paper like we have to do now, mm-hmm. but in the heavenly realms. That's why he said, every idle word you speak, you know, you'll have to go up before the throne mm-hmm. and account for that. Well, how does that happen? Because it's literally being recorded in a quantum level. Mm-hmm. When you speak, the vibrations are there, and it's like, it's just like a phone, just like mm-hmm. a, you know, when we see, you know, on a tape, it measures the frequency, so it's recorded. Right. And mm-hmm. when you do even digitally now, it's recording all that. Well, it's recorded digitally in the quantum level. It's really cool when you think about it.
Yeah.
But he says, when you vow a vow unto the Lord, thy God, you shall not slack to pay it, for the Lord God will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee. So that's from Deuteronomy 23, part of the commandments. Listen, if you're going to make a vow, you better pay it. And Ecclesiastes says it's better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay.
Yeah. I heard that in a church sermon one time, and I paid close attention to that one, by the way.
Yeah, and that's right along what your mother told you. You know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just the same vein, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. A broken vow basically opens a door for the works of your hands to be frustrated, okay? Mm. This is legal language for a curse on your labor, your finances, and your fruitfulness. Mm. So if you got some things going on in your life right now and you really want to seek the Lord, he's knocking at the door because, you know, we're in Laodicean church. Mm-hmm. He's saying, come back, and then let's keep these covenants together. And we just read that Jesus was in, where were we? Not that one. The other one. I never knew you. I will profess to them I never knew you. And therefore, this is the big part. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock.
Yeah.
So the Lord is telling us stuff, and it's not your way. It's not, hey, I believe this way, I believe that way, I think mm-hmm. the Lord said this. Well, this is what my church teaches. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is nicer. Mm-hmm. You know, I know God said that homosexuality is wrong, but, you know, we just want to love everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're back to that again. So whoever hears these words and does them, he's the one, or she, that is wise, and the house is built upon a rock. So it all ties back again to covenant stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's really where we want to go, is the covenant was in the beginning, and he gave it to Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And he said, you shall be fruitful and multiply. You'll take dominion over all the fish, all the birds, all the animals, mm-hmm. even the land and everything. You got dominion over it, okay? And you can eat everything in the garden except for that one thing, that's the knowledge mm-hmm. of good and evil. Well, why? Because now you're trying to be wise like God, because that's even what Satan said. He knows you'll be like God,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're trying to be like God, but without God.
Right.
So it doesn't work. You just can't do that. But he came and he paid that debt off for you. And now he died, became a man, died in your place, so you can again have eternal life with him. So I encourage you, before this session is out, receive that contract, and we'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to our deep dive into the modern church and why returning to the truth of Scripture is essential. The early church stood on the unfiltered Word of God, and that is what believers must stand on today. This message has opened your eyes. Please visit lastchristian.net to learn more. And remember, standing on God's truth is the only way forward. And please join us every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central for another edition of the Last Christian Radio Show.
Imagine joining Starbucks as a tiny Seattle coffee shop. Or Monster Energy before the energy drink took over the world. Oliabo is that opportunity today, a bold, innovative startup with no fees or purchase requirements and the same energy and momentum. Don't look back one day wishing you had acted. Don't miss your chance. Get in now while Oliabo is still 100% free to join. Visit www.lastchristian.net today for all the details.